I have a few announcements to make. The first one, if you have a bulletin, you've seen that we will have no Bible class this Tuesday. And I don't have it in the bulletin, but we're not going to have the young people's class either, because the Schaefer Theological Convention in Houston, at West Houston Bible Church, under Dr. Robbie Dean, is going to last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I'll be attending. And you can get on the internet if you have a computer and have an internet, and if it's working, and go to deanbible.org, and there's a tab at the top that says live streaming, and you can live stream it. And I would encourage you to do that, because it's always very informative, and I think that you'll benefit by it. Also, there's going to be a young people's retreat right here in Washington County at Sandy Creek. Sandy Creek, I don't know if it's a ranch or what it is exactly, but there's going to be teens from several Bible churches. They're coming from West Houston Bible Church and from Cliff Beveridge's church. I think that's I can't remember the name of his church, but Lost Pines Bible Church, and from Orlando's Bible Church there in Houston. From several of them, they're going to be there, and it's going to be April. I think it's in the mid part of April, and we have until the rest of this month for people to register, and by next Sunday I should have the information for you. And there's a website to go to, and I'm sorry, I was going to have that for you, but I don't have it for you today. But that's just a heads up for you to be looking out for that. I hope that we have several of our teens that are going to go to that. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer and the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mighty word. We thank you for giving us the grace system of perception so that we can understand the whole realm of doctrine, and it doesn't depend on our IQ or our education. It all depends completely and totally upon your grace. And we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this morning as we continue with the Star series. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is that we lost a spiritual hero, Christian hero, and that was Ed Halsband. I doubt that any of you have met him. I didn't meet him myself, but he was handled the technical aspect of Dr. Jim's ministry. He lived in Maryland, and was just essentially Dr. Jim's right arm, because Dr. Jim has a internet church, and when you have that and you're doing as many interviews as he does, nearly every week broadcast, he has someone speaking or he's speaking, and to coordinate all that and get it on the iTunes and have all that done over the several years was quite a help. And so, even though you didn't meet him, you have benefited by him, because if you've ever live streamed Dr. Jim's show, in any of the interviews that I do on Monday mornings on his show, or tonight there's going to be a continuation of the prophecy series, all these things, you have someone in the background like Ed Halsband that made it work. And my hat goes off to him and to all those at Country Bible Church as well. You see me, I'm the focal point of this ministry, but I don't do it alone. There's no way I could do it alone. And there's people behind the scenes that take care of so many details. And I just hope that you all have a proper appreciation for them. I don't want to name them all, because I'm not trying to glorify them. That's God's job. But we should be thankful for all that they do. And they're very much appreciated by me. And when you lose one like Ed Halsband, you really can recognize it. And this is something that a post that Ed put on Dr. Jim's new website. I would encourage you to go there as well. It's called SavingAmericasFreedom.com. SavingAmericasFreedom.com. And there was a post when a list of things that people sent in a note about the website when it first began. And this is one that Ed sent in. He said, "Dr. Jim, love it, love it, love it." He was talking about the new website. He said, "Yes, Dr. Jim, just finished listening to Dr. Laurie Ross' show. Great job. I tell you, if you don't log on to these things, you're really missing out, because Dr. Jim interviews people from all over the world. And I mean, a lot of them are well known. I mean, you see them on TV sometimes, and some that aren't so well known but are still very, very good. And this is what Ed is talking about, is the Dr. Laurie Ross show. She has her own talk show, and Dr. Jim was interviewing her. And then he says, "One part I find that is so amazing about this is that God takes a mix of gifts and creates a team of people to accomplish His will. I hold the gift of pastor-teacher as an honorable position, and even though I do not have that gift, I consider it a great honor that God would choose me to be part of His work in this venue. I would like to encourage others to seek God's mind on how they can be a part of a work like this. Time is running out. Resting in Him, Ed Halsband." I would say that's very timely. Little did he know that this may be one of the last things that he wrote. And I think I could at least honor him by giving this to you, especially that last challenge. "I would like to encourage others to seek God's mind on how they can be a part of a work like this. Time is running out." It ran out for Ed. I think it was, last Wednesday? It was last week. In fact, I talked to Ed. He was in Las Vegas. He had taken care of a conference there for Dr. Jim. And he had a two-day layover because of the weather. And I called him before he got on the plane, talked to him about 20 minutes. And most of the time when I talked to him, he was taking care of problems, whether I had a problem broadcasting off the network or whether I was receiving information. Always handy on the spot. But that time I got a chance to just talk to him about miscellaneous things. And as it turned out, he stepped on the plane, and then by the time he got to Baltimore, he stepped into eternity. None of us know how long we have on this earth. And I like the last part he said, "Time is running out." Okay, we're going to continue now with the Star series. And I don't know if you remember or not, but we left in the constellation of Pisces, and we were on the last constellation in that group. And the constellation was Cephas. George, go ahead. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. There it is there. You'll remember that the ecliptic, which is also known as the zodiac, goes through this constellation here, which is Pisces, the fish, and they are connected with a band, showing that they are restrained. Then we looked at Andromeda, which is the woman that is chained. Here she is chained. And we talked about how Israel was in bondage several times, but then God finally destroyed the nation, and they were dispersed throughout the entire earth. But then we talked about Him regathering her. We went through all these things, But now the last part here is Cephas. Here is the king on the throne. He's holding out his scepter here. And we noted all about Cephas except a few things that we are going to cover now. This is John 8, 31 through 32. I'm just going to click through these quickly. These are what we went through to. This is Andromeda there. And we looked at the different star names. Now here is Cephas. This is what it looks like here, the constellation. This is the North Star Polaris. And over here, we're going to get to this. This is Cassiopeia. Now this is in the constellation of Aries, but I just want to put a proximity of where this constellation of Cephas is. This is the Little Dipper here, and most people can't find it because they don't know where to look, and it's not really a very bright constellation, but that's the orientation to it. Here is kind of something that superimposes what the king on his throne would look like with the stars there. We already went over these aldermen, coming quickly. Alfric, the redeemed, the redeemer. Al-Rai, which is he who bruises or breaks. We went through this already, Matthew 24, 41 through 46. That the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. And that would be the king sitting on the throne there. And the Egyptians called this deliverer, Pikuhor, which means the ruler that comes. But Cephas is a Greek name that comes from a Hebrew word meaning the branch. Now what we were concentrating on is the significance of the branch. And the branch is throughout several constellations. You see star names that are, their name means the branch. And here we have the constellation itself, Cephas, means the branch. And we went to Zechariah 16, 12 through 13. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Then we went to Isaiah 11, 1 through 2. And this is a branch. Again, it talks about the branch that would come from the root or the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. Jesus Christ is David's greater son and also called the branch here. So now, this is where we're going to pick up our study today. There was one more scripture we didn't get to. And here it is, John 12, verses 12 through 13. I'd like for you to turn to that in your Bibles. John 12, 12. This is also known as Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was very dangerous for Christ to go into Jerusalem because the hierarchy of the religious crowd were wanting to kill him. But he goes in and the people recognized him as their king, as the Messiah. The only problem is 3 days later they were calling out, crucify him. So John 12, 12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees. There you have, you underline this part here. Branches of the palm trees. And went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So the reason they got branches was because it wasn't just, well, let's just think of something to do. No, they took the branches off of the trees and they would lay before him as he came. He was riding a colt, and as he rode into Jerusalem, they were putting those branches there because they were linking those branches with Messiah. They understood the scriptures that we've already gone through, that this was another title or name for the Messiah. And they were, in doing that, they were essentially recognizing, we know that you are Messiah and we are hailing you as the King of Israel. That's what was going on there. But now I want you to turn to Psalm 118, verse 22. Some of you already have your Bible marked up here, but we'll go over it again. Some may not have gone through this before, but it's always good to refresh. In Psalm 118, verse 22-23, you ought to make it somehow connect that with a bracket or some kind of like a parenthesis. Connect those two, because those two verses are referring to the first advent. And you need to note that in your margin, because you won't understand what was going on Palm Sunday in the verse we just described apart from understanding something in these few verses here. So verse 22 through 23 is referring to the first advent. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected. Who is the stone? The stone is Jesus Christ. And the builders that rejected him were the hierarchy of the Jews, of Judaism. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This, and when it's talking about this, it's talking about the cross. It's talking about salvation there. Salvation provided through the cross. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And make those little notations if you can. This is referring to the cross. What Christ did in order to provide for our salvation is the Lord's doing. It's the Lord that provides our so great salvation and is marvelous in our eyes. Now, verse 24 through 26, I want you to connect those as well. Make a bracket, some kind of arc around those verses to show that these three verses go together as well. And then you need to note that this is talking about the second advent. Now, Christ came first advent. We call it the incarnation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the God-man, was born. His mission was get to the cross, and he did, fulfilled his mission. Now, verse 24 is talking about the second advent. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Does that ring a bell? Y'all know the song? We sing it here quite often. Then verse 25. And I want you to put a parenthesis starting with the first word on O Lord. I want you to put a parenthesis there and end it at the end of the verse, of verse 25, where it says prosperity. This is a parenthetical phrase in verse 25. So verse 25 says, O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Now, one other notation where it says, do save. This is essentially, it means save now. Literally, it says here, do save, but it means save. Save us now. And the Hebrew word for that is yashana. That's two words, Y-A-S-H-A, and the second word, N-A, na. So they said, save us now. Now they're going to they were going to certainly need to be saved, because at the second advent, it looks like the Antichrist is going to wipe out the Jews, and they are going to be crying out, save us now. Yashana. And that is after the tribulation when Christ returns. And he will deliver them. He is going to save them. And then he says, O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Then verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. This is the millennial. This is the temple, but it's talking about the millennial temple. Now, this is all future. Now, if we go back to John chapter 12, go ahead and, turn the lights on there. There you go. You can leave these off, but there you go. Now, in verse 13, I want you to make a notation there where it says, they took the branches, and under branches, underline that word, and in the margin, if you can, put Isaiah 11:1. That's that verse that we went to earlier. We're describing that Jesus Christ, Messiah, is going to come from the root of Jesse, and he is a branch from Jesse. That's given the lineage to make sure that people would be able to identify our Lord. And then later on, it goes on, a palm branches went down to meet him and began to cry out. See where it says, Hosanna? Underline that, because that is transliterated from what we were looking at in Psalm 118, which was Yashana. Remember that? Means, save us now. It comes out here, Hosanna. When you're going from the Hebrew into the Greek and then into the English, it comes out Hosanna, which comes from the Yashana, which means save us now. What I'm pointing out is they were singing the wrong song. They should have been singing verse 22 and verse 23, which had to do with the first advent and the cross, but they were singing save us now, as if it was the second advent. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? What they wanted to be delivered from was the Romans. And they were saying, save us from the Romans. And that was, if you're on the wrong page, it's bad enough. But if you're not even on the same right song, that's even worse. So I thought I would point that out to you, because not many people recognize that the people did recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But they thought that he came to deliver them and deliver them from the Romans. But that part of Scripture is talking about delivering the Jewish people, the Israelites, if you will, at the second advent. Now, I hope that some people think, he just goes too deep. Well, you don't get these nuggets unless you dig. And now you know something that's going on about Palm Sunday. Everybody talking about Palm Sunday. And then they go into their liturgy and their ritual and all the rot. But you know the significance that they didn't know what they were talking about, but you do. And it's meaningful because you can see how deceived a whole nation can be. And because they didn't understand and they were singing the wrong song, 3 days later they were howling, crucify him. Same people. Okay, I thought that would be significant while we're looking at the branch. One more thing I want to bring out is the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. I'm making another connection with the branch, again, with branches, because that's significant in the Bible. And in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 40 through 42, it says, now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of the beautiful trees, palm branches. So there we have again, branches. It seemed to be a favorite to be palm branches. Must have been abundance of them. Palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. That's how long the feast would last. Verse 41, you shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths. Now, what was this about? I mean, surely if you lived back then, or if you were really going by the Mosaic law today, you would do this. Of course, we're not under the Mosaic law, and we don't follow these feast days, but if you did, you would be obliged in the proper month for 7 days to move out of your air-conditioned, heated, luxury home with running water, indoor bathrooms, central air, central heat, and so forth, and you would move out into a, well, they're calling it a booth. I don't know what you would call it, but if it's made with palm branches and whatever you could scrounge up, they have boughs from trees and willows from the brook, and you're going to live in that for 7 days. What would you think about that, ladies? Well, guys, too. Well, they would do this. What were they signifying? They were remembering when they were wandering in the wilderness, this is what the people lived in. And they would go back and remember that and be appreciative that the Lord took them out of bondage. But there's one more thing that has to do with the branch here, and that is that God provided for the needs of the people. And it was important to God for them to go back to where they were in the wilderness and live like that for 7 days so they would be appreciative of His provision. And there we have the branch again. And I could probably dig out more things about the branch, but I want you to understand the significance of it, because you find it all over the Bible about the branch. And that is the name Cephas, when it is brought into the Greek from the Hebrew, means the branch. Okay? All right, now we're going to move on to the next constellation. We just finished Pisces with its three deacons. That's the constellations that are associated with it. And now we're going to go to, I'll just bring it up and explain it as we go. Show you where we are first. You know, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. So that's where we start here. This is the ecliptic, also known as the zodiac. These are all the constellations that fall on the zodiac. We start out with Virgo, the Virgin, went to Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. Now those four combined produced what we looked at in the stars as Act 1. By the way, here's the sun, and this is just showing the Earth's orbit around the sun. It takes it a year to do this. That's what that's showing. Here is the... Well, I was going to show something. Let's see if I'm... Well, I guess I'm not on the right one. I'll show you a little later about the acts and how those four make up Act 1. The next four that we just completed makes up Act 2. And then there's one more act after we get through with these constellations right here. And that will be Act 3. But we'll get to that in a moment. I'm on Aries. This is the main... See, it's the constellation that falls right on this ecliptic that is the main focal point of the constellation and God's message in the stars. And we have Aries. Now, here is Cetus, the sea monster. We also have Cassiopeia, and we also have Perseus. Those are here's the main constellation, and these are the deacons that tell the story that are in this 30-degree portion of the sky. Now, also included over here, Cephas that we just completed, and Andromeda, and this is one of the Pisces here. And the reason I did that is to show the proximity. Here is Cephas, the king, on the throne. Here's Cassiopeia, the queen, over here. See, they're right there together in the story. Okay, so Aries is it's the last constellation in Act 2. And it means deliverance realized. This is the last one we're looking at in Act 2. Aries usually carries the symbol of a ram. That's what you normally see it. But many of the oldest zodiacs portray a lamb with no horns. And some ancient zodiacs, the lamb has a crown on its head. So can you put together what that means? Jesus Christ came as the lamb that was an animal that was sacrificed. And yet, if it had a crown, it means that Christ is going to go from the crown to be the ruler. This is what Aries looks like. Here's the zodiac. Here is the ram. And here's the Pisces we just finished with. And we're over here, and next will be Taurus, the bull. Here's another depiction of it. These stars are the main stars, which you see here. There are other stars, but these are the brightest ones. So when you look at Aries, usually when it's depicted, it just is made up of these three stars, and they know it's called the ram because of the name of the stars that are in it. Okay, here is another depiction of it. Here's the main three stars. Some will connect these stars as well. It's, no matter how you do it, it doesn't look like a ram, but the star names give it away. Here is Elnath. That's this star right here, which means the wounded are slain. Here we have Saratan. I guess I'll spell these. Elnath is Elnath. And Sheratan, Sheratan, is the bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripe we are healed. Have you ever heard that before? So it is referring to Christ, who was sacrificed for us. And then we have Mesartim, Mesartim, means the bound. Before they would sacrifice a lamb, they would have to bind it. They would have to tie it down because they're not just going to lay still while you cut their throat. And the altar had what they called, looked like horns on each corner. And those horns were so that they could take a rope and dally around that as a something to hold it down. And then they would tie and bound that sheep down or whatever animal it was so that they could do the sacrifice. Here is Aries right here. Remember, this is just a few stars that is shown. But this also gives you an idea of where it is located and what it looks like. Here's Pisces that we just finished. Remember Pegasus, the great horse? You don't have it. His head goes over here. Here are his legs, his back legs here, which make up Andromeda. By the way, it's even showing the Andromeda galaxy right here. And that's the only galaxy that you can see with the naked eye. And if you know where to look on a clear night, and if you have good eyes, it looks like a little fuzzy spot in the sky. And that's a galaxy that is a sister galaxy to the Milky Way, which is our galaxy. It has, I don't know how many hundreds of billions of stars in it. But if you have binoculars and can hold them still, or if you have a telescope, you can resolve it as a galaxy. That's right there. Here's Cetus, the great sea monster. We won't get that to there today yet. But up here we have Perseus. That's also in our constellations. The Hebrew name for Aries is Telah. Or Tele, T-A-L-E-H, which means lamb. And the Arabic name, Hamal, H-A-M-A-L, means sheep. Or merciful, or gentle. That's all what we have with regarding the sheep. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 53:7. We're going to look at a few verses that have to do with the lamb and Aries. Isaiah 53:7. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. This was a prophecy that was fulfilled by Christ, and here he is identified with a lamb. You don't have to turn to these for the sake of time. I'm just going to press right on with John 1:29. John 1:29 says, "The next day he," referring to John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, he worded that very specifically because there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lambs that were sacrificed for nearly 1,500 years as the Jews were under the Mosaic Law. They were looking forward to the cross. And all those lambs could do, indeed, any animal that was sacrificed, all they could do was cover sin temporarily until the Lamb of God would come and take away the sins of the world. Notice, the world, that includes everyone. So this is another verse that would identify unlimited atonement. When Christ was on the cross, He died for the sins of all mankind. And He's noted as the Lamb here. In Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers," verse 19, "but the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, blemished, spotless, the blood of Christ." Now, the blood of Christ is referring to the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. It wasn't His physical death or His blood that was shed that gives us our salvation. It's His spiritual death. We've already gone over that. But this is talking about as a lamb, unblemished and spotless. In Exodus chapter 12, where it's giving the Israelites the information for the first Passover, what they were to do, and they were to take a lamb, and it had to be the best lamb they had. It had to be absolutely perfect specimen. If it had a broken leg, if it had any blemishes, if there's anything wrong with it whatsoever, they could not use it for a sacrifice. This would be the one that you would want to take to the show. If you're in 4-H or FFA or these type of things, you would really be grieved to take your best specimen, and it was going to be the one that was going to be sacrificed. That is, if you didn't understand what was going on. It had to be perfect because it was representing the sinlessness, the impeccability of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then they would set it aside for a period of time to make sure that nothing was wrong with it before they would ever take it and execute it. And again, that is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Now, I'm going to show you something that I went to Waltrip High School, and our mascot was Rams. We were the Fighting Rams. And I'll show you something. Carrie found one of my yearbooks, and I was able to scan a few things in here. This was the name of our yearbook. Can you kill these just for a second? See if you can see this better. Can you see what that says? A-R-I-E-S. Aries. What are we studying? Aries. That's the constellation Aries. This was in 1965. This was our senior ring. We had the best looking ring I had ever seen. I still have mine, by the way. It has an Old English W here, and it says truth, honor, and integrity on the ring itself. This is what was on the first page. When you open the first page of our yearbook, in fact, here it is right here. And if you open the first page, this is what you see. What do you see there? Aries. I remember I went to Black Junior High, and when I went to Waltrip High, my sister was a few years older than I was, and she brought home her yearbook, and it said Aries in it. I said, "What's an Aries?" And she said, "Well, it's a ram." And so here you have all the constellations. Here's Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, goes all the way around. But it's here you have the ram jumping out because it was that was our mascot, was the ram, and our yearbook was named the Aries. Now, I don't know if you can see this very well, but I put two pictures together. When you open up the two pages, this is showing you one picture, one shot. This was at a pep rally at Waltrip High School when I was going there. These are the cheerleaders. I don't know if you can tell, but this gal's about 2 feet off the ground here. She's leaping up, and her arms are out like this. This is Waltrip here. Here's our ram here. Here was our mascot. This guy's got his arm on it, and you see his horns here. And we had, they had, each one of these had R-A-M-S. We had the, you know, for the megaphone. This was the band down here. You see the W on the back. They were playing. Over here you had the drill squad. It was called the Imperial Guard. Nothing, I've never seen anything like it before or after. They would actually go out on the field, and they were wearing the Roman helmets with the, looked like the brush in the middle. And they had, some of them had bugles and some of them had drums. And they would walk out on that field in military style and do all these different things, and people were just amazed at that. That was the Imperial Guard over here. These were the students in the middle, and here were the football players over here. It was just phenomenal. It's just in my mind like it was yesterday. It was so loud because you had all these, I don't know, there's probably at least 400 kids in there, minimum. And when we walked in down from the back here to stand in the front rows here, the band would play the fight song. The cheerleaders were doing this. Everybody's clapping. Noisy. You could not hear anything. And you notice this is the red blazers that we would wear on game day with a tie, a white shirt and a tie. And we would go to school. All the football players that day would wear that. This was the first. Nobody was doing this when we did this back in 1965. We were the first team to have those blazers and a tie. And, of course, when we would go down, we played most of our games in Del Mar Stadium. And the dressing room, you go down a ramp, and it's in that area there. And there were sometimes players on the other team that would be laying around on the grass, and they would just mosey in. We would walk in there kind of military style, and when they saw us with a coat and tie, "Oh, look at the pretty boys. Aren't they sweet?" We were told, and we did not disobey, don't say a word. And so we would march in there, and they were taunting us and taunting and trying to belittle us. We didn't say a word. We went out there. But when we went out there on that field, we beat the heck out of them. The 3 years I was there, we won city twice and zone once. And then we went on from there. Over here, you see it says, "Beat Brian." See that? Such school spirit. I just thought y'all might want to see that. It had something to do with the Rams, the Waltrip Rams, Aries. So little did I know back then. If you would have told me back then that about, I don't know, 40 years later or more, that I would be having this on a PowerPoint. We didn't know what a PowerPoint was. And I would be showing this picture to you and describing it with regards to Aries, which is part of God's message in the stars. Now, I had, you know, I was young and dumb. Had no idea. But the Lord has great plans, doesn't He? Okay. You turn these lights back on now, George. The next constellation, we probably won't be able to get finished with this. Let me go back a little bit to show you where we are. I want you to see Cassiopeia. Okay. There's Cassiopeia. So we have Aries. This is Christ, the Lamb that was slain for us, but He's also the Victor. And now we go to Cassiopeia. So the fact that you have Cephas right here, and he's kind of extending his scepter out towards Cassiopeia. And also what I want to show you is, and the reason I put these two are in Pisces, but the reason I put them up here is so you could see the proximity of Cassiopeia to Cephas. And also, this is the before, this is the after. This is one, in other words, this is the woman chained, This is when Israel was dispersed throughout all the lands, but now she has been regathered. And there's going to be a time when now she is going to be sitting next to the king. You got that? In other words, this is the before and this is the after. Let me go down here and show you. Okay, this is what Cassiopeia looks like. Right here. You can turn these off. Yeah, there you go. Big W in the sky, kind of a lazy W. Y'all ever seen that before? How many have seen that and can recognize it? One. Okay. It's right up yonder, that way. It's a pretty big constellation, and it is bright stars in it. These stars aren't named here, but I don't know if you can see from here. I might have another one's better. They name these stars according to their brightness and their size, and they give them a Greek letter of the alphabet. Here's alpha, this is beta, gamma, delta, and epsilon. They use Greek names. If you ever have a star catalog, that's what it is. Now, I have something right here. I think I have an error pointed at it. Let's see. Yeah. This is NGC 663, which means it's the National General Catalog, and it has the number 663. This little round circle here is significant. And anytime there's whether it's a galaxy or a star cluster or nebula, whatever it is, they'll catalog it and give it a number. This one is significant, and I'm going to show you on the next slide what that looks like, what this is. Over here you have M52. Now M comes from Messier, which was a astronomer, and he cataloged a lot of things, and some of their catalog number is 52. So I'm going to show you in the next two slides, first of all, this one and this one right here in Cassiopeia Air, and show what they look like. Now this is the N663 star cluster. Can you see it? There it is right there. Whenever you have stars all over the place like you see here, but when you have a cluster of them together, they catalog and give them a number. Here's another little one up here that's not named. You see that? Now, you see that star right there? Let's go back here. That's this star right here. See it? To give you an idea of size and what's going on there, you have this huge constellation here, and this is just one little dot, one star right here that has this next to it, and that's what we're seeing here. This is that star. Kind of give you a frame of reference there. Now here is M52. This is another star cluster right here. So, and this is, of course, magnified some, but if you get even the more magnification you have, the more stars you see. So I thought you might want to see those. Here is Cassiopeia again. Now look at those stars. Here is a regular magnification, and then here is kind of a... This. If you counted how many dots were on here, just within this size of this constellation, I believe you get tired of counting by the time you got through. I don't know how many there's there, but it's got to be thousands of them. And that's in a little bitty spot in the sky about the size of a pea. Can you imagine how many stars are in the universe? That's a pretty one there. Okay, let's look at some star names. First of all, here she is, upside down, but you see the configuration here. Look what the first one up here by her arm is called, Caph, C-A-P-H. And what's it called? The branch. So here again, we have the branch. We saw it in Virgo. We saw it just what the name of Cephas means, branch. We have the branch here. Then we have Shedar, S-H-E-D-A-R, which means the freed. Now, why do you suppose that star is talking about the freed? Because we just had Andromeda in Pisces with the chains. We had the fish that were connected to a band. But now this is Andromeda, now pictured free as Cassiopeia. sitting next to the king. I thought I had one more star there. No. No star there. Okay. I want to go back to this for just a moment, though. All right. March is right here. We're in the circle around the earth here. And so we are probably right along here in March. Okay? Now, remember when Christ was crucified that there was darkness upon the earth. Now, the only reason we can't see stars during the day is because the sun is out and the sun blocks all the starlight out. But in that supernatural darkness, I'm not certain, but it's possible that the people would be able to see the stars. And if they did, here we are on earth about here. The sun is blocked out, so they would be able to look across and look what they're looking at. Aries. And what does Aries signify? The ram or the sheep that was sacrificed for the people. Wouldn't that be something? If while Christ was being crucified and God darkened the earth, blotted out the sun, so that they could look up at the sky, and if they knew God's message in the stars, what this constellation is depicting, the sacrificed lamb, would be actually being taking place on earth. I thought that was pretty neat. Well, we're out of time. We got through Aries and Cassiopeia. We still have Cetus, the sea monster, and Perseus. Ever heard of those before? Anybody heard of Perseus or Cetus? Yeah? Okay. And there's some fascinating things about these. Can't wait till I get to, both of them. Perseus and Cetus. Both of them have some phenomenal characteristics about them. Okay, I'd like everyone, please bow your head and shut your eyes, because I'm dedicating this last portion of this service to anyone who is here or anyone who may be listening on the live stream or may pick this up at some other time, that all these constellations have the same story. They're saying the same thing. And that is that man has a sin problem, and Satan is very much alive, very much active, and yet we have a victor. We have, in the stars, we've seen him as an archer with an arrow at the heart of Scorpio. We've seen him as Ophiuchus, the snake handler, who won't allow the snake to reach up and grab the crown. We also see him as Perseus. We see him throned. All these things are in the stars to tell us what is most important in your life is, are you going to accept Jesus Christ and His work alone on the cross for your eternal salvation, or are you going to depend on your own good works? Most important decision you'll ever make is that one. And so we have it in Scripture. We have it in the stars. Everywhere we have this message. And we understand that faith alone in Christ alone results in imputed eternal life and God's own righteousness. So in a moment of time, wherever you are, you can make that decision. And in that moment, you are born again. And you have eternal life. And your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. Now the question is, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to grow and learn and connect the spiritual dots so that you can glorify God? Or are you going to waste it and be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ? It's easy for us to believe, but it wasn't easy for Jesus Christ to provide our so great salvation. Time is running out, as Ed Hosband reminded us. Don't delay. Now, Father, we're so thankful for this time that You've given us to study these things. We pray that we will incorporate it into our soul, that it will be a motivation and an inspiration for us to be good and faithful servants. And we pray this all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.